which everyone understands is nageya to running a business, as well as hilchos ribos. Cholamoid is less so. The first thing we have to realize is a cholamoid is a time of year with an identity crisis. Is it choil or is it mayit? Sort of a contradiction. It's a serum in Eruve. Is it the Vos? Is it the Antif? It's a little of both. The name of the Masechta is Mayid Katan. A little bit closer to the notion that you have a Yantiv, only it's a small Yantiv. The Lashon of the Mechaber is instructive. This is right in the very beginning of Hilchos Cholamoid. It's in Tav Kuf Lamed. Cholamoid Asur Biktsas Melachos Umutur Bimiktsasam. Cholamoid, you're allowed to do some Melachan, and some you can't. Now, it doesn't go into much detail, it's just the opening siman. Hagah Zakter Amal Lefitsoyre Chayinyan Shayanira Lachachamim Lahatir. According to the need that the Chacham saw to allow. Now, there's an essential Machlokes Rishonim here. Melechus Chalmoid is a Daraisa, the prohibition. Is it in a Torah or Midrabanan? This is a Machlokes with big lineup on either side. The ones that hold Drabanan are essentially the Rambam, the Rosh, the Bali Tosfos, and they hold Drabanan. On the other side, you have Rashi, who holds the Daraisa, the Rif, the Rashbam. So you have, and then many other Rishonim that enter into the Shadow. So it remains, perhaps, as an open machloikas. We're not sure, la halacha, although some achronim say that the hachra is drabanam. Fortunately, there is a third option here, and that's the Shita of the Ramban. He makes a kind of chart. He says, if you look at the Gemara Chagiga, it actually learns from a pasuk where the marker of this machloikas is. The pasuk says, sheishes yamin toichal matzois, now, 6 days of Shemitah, we know Shiva's Yom, right? Gemara, he says, Sheshes Yom Rishus. And the seventh day is Rishus, but it's really only a Chayiv of the first night. But we're interested here in the Tzushtel, the Hekish, of eating Matzah on the Sheshes Yomim, and Bayam Shvi Atzeres, don't do work. Just like you don't do work on the Shvi, you don't do work on the Shishi Yom. It's a Hekish. The Torah is comparing them. That is to say, you can't do Malacha the first 6 days of the Yom Tov. And then the seventh, don't do all Malacha. So which is which? So the Gemara says, during Cholamayid, there the Chacham were Matir certain Malachas. On Yom Tov, it's all us. The strong Mashmois is therefore the Malachas Cholamayid Doraisa. Tosis and the Rambam will learn it's an Asmachta. However, Zakhtar Ramban, there's really another way. In concept, essentially, at the core, Yontif is a week. A week's time, we don't do work. We stay away from the regular run-of-the-mill life that we have, a Gansiar, Parnasa, Arabic, Malacha. You're off for a week. However, the Chachamim understood that you can't be in that matzah begansavach, you have to do some malacha. So there were matir, a variety of malachas. We're going to get into them in detail, see in your list. There are five that you're allowed to do. We'll look briefly at each, and then see how they all relate to real estate. To apartments, to maintenance, to all the rest that goes into running a real estate operation. The etzem malacha, Zakhtar Ramban, is deraisa. The oifen, of which ones are mutter, and which ones are also that, the Chachamim had a free reign, and they declare that Dabar Havad is Mutter, Tzarech Hamayid, and so on. The Bach says, this is how we hold La Halacha. The Nachgemina would be, if there is a Suffolk in one of these permitted Malachas, is it a Suffolk Daraisa Drabanan? So the Magen Avraham says that we go to Kula. It'll be permitted, a Suffolk Dabar Havad. According to this, we understand because the Chachamim, although it's Daraisa, in essence, Chachamim treated it as a Drabanan and allowed you to do Malacha on a Sofer. All right, this is just some general background. Now, some number three, general observations regarding Cholamoid. Okay, so Wexler already mentioned the Gemara that says that Mavazas Mayadas Kila Oyver Vadazar, there's Maral. why of Ayyubir Avodah Zarah? I mean, Chal Shabbos, I understand, it's connected to Kala Torah Kula, and his possible Shechita, and so on, he's a Mummer. But Chol HaMoed, right? Everyone goes to the trips, you know, you take your kids all over the place. What's the pshat? Says the Maral, the Dank, what is Yontif entirely given for? It's a Yon Moed, it's called a Moed. Chol HaMoed is still part of Moed. Moed means we develop a Hiskashus for the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, it's a special time. Think of it like a husband and wife. How often they eat supper together? Okay, Shabbos, once a week, Baruch Hashem. Together, you have time together. Mayids, three times a year, Shalosh Shugal and Tachak Libashani, you have time to be with the Ribbono Shel Olam. When you mevaza that, you are getting in between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kal Yisrael. That's the notion of Ayyubir Avodah Zarah. It's like, Chalila, you're not makir this special relationship between Hashem and Kal Yisrael. We also have a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that we all know, that Hamalvim Pnei Chaver Barabim Ein L'Chelek L'Olam Haba. We've all learned it since grade school. There's another part of that phrase though, Hamevazes Hamayadets Ein L'Chelek L'Olam Haba. What is Mevazes as Mayad? Zok Rashi. It means Palmoid. That means he doesn't give the attention, the Chashivas, the Palmoid that he gives to Yontav. Yontav are all Mashiv. We get ready, there's hachanas, there's a seder, there's a sukkah, there's a lulav, there's a chais, we stay up all night learning, shavuos. We're very involved in yontif and the hachan. Comes Chol HaMoed, it's gone, it dissipates. Zok Rashi, that's a kind of bizoyan, that we could eat the Torah's simchas yontif and we neglect it. That is why Ein L'Chel V'Mabar. These are some general ideas. One last notion before we get into the shakamataria of the halachas. The Rebbe Eber, the Baal HaTanya, once was musing out loud to his Hasidim, why was he punished that he had to be Nizgala and become a Rebbe? Okay. That's what he asked. Till then he was a Nister. And one defined day he was Nizgala as Gemara Rebbe. Why? He says, because one time, Chol HaMoed, I made a Nesiyah, which I thought was Letzar HaMoed. I thought I needed to go for Yontif to a certain place. Then it turned out afterwards was Shloim Letzarach Yontif. I didn't need to go there. Could have gone after Yontif. For that he was punished and he became a Rebbe. Now, I heard this message from my father. He says, what do you see? We're both Litvaks, by the way. So it's authentic. You know, it wasn't embellished. He said, what do you learn from the Maizu? What's the Pshat? You see what they considered an Einish, an Aveira. The Aveir was that he made a trip Chol HaMoed Shaloi Letzarach, and what they considered a punishment. The Nizgal is a Rebbe. You'd ask people today, you travel Chol HaMoed, they would travel all day Chol HaMoed to come here. The Nizgal is a Rebbe, what was there left? But he considered it more of an Inyan not to be. In any event, Chol HaMoed, what we're trying to do tonight is get a different way of thinking about Chol HaMoed, different attitude. Different machshava, what is Chol HaMoed? Why do we have Chol HaMoed? And how does it apply to our business? Okay, so let's, with this background, let's jump in. There are five categories of malacha, the chamim or matir. Again, based on the Gemara and Chagiga and all the Rishayim, listen. The first one is Tzar HaMoed, what we need immediately for the Yontif. Now, what is the Tzar HaMoed? Anything you need, I mean, Lamashal. I need to put gas in the car to go to the grocery to pick up wine for Yontif, v'chahena. Anything you need l'tzarach Yontif is something I'm allowed to do. However, there are restrictions. It's not complete freedom to do all malacha. It is only a maisa hedyat. This is an important distinction we're going to see all throughout Hilchos Chol HaMoed. There are two levels of work. One is called hedyat. One is an uman. An uman is an expert. Classic Gemara is about a tailor. When a tailor sews something, it's different than when you and I sew something. If I've ever sewed on a button, it's lucky if it stays on and I can button it and I didn't do it wrong. We're hedyaitis. Hedyaitis means amateurs. An amateur job is mutter l'tzarach yantif, but not a maisa uma. So for example, you have a chair or a table and one leg fell off. So now it's sagging. So it's a tzarich yontif. I need to sit in the chair. I need to eat by the table. I can take a piece of wood or even a leg that fell off, put it on. How do I do it? I might use duct tape. I might use a simple nail I bang in. But if it would, that would be my sahedya. That's permitted. If I would take out carpentry tools and put it in such a way that you can never tell that it was broken, the curved leg and all fancy, the way the moldings are and all that, that would be a nice woman. That's awesome. Even though I need it today for yontif. We allow a nice hedya. After yontif, you can then fix it up. But I do a nice hedya. So this is one category that we're allowed to do. The next one is oichal nefesh, which essentially has to do with preparing food. Here, it's even a ma'isa uman. What is a ma'isa uman to prepare food? It's not just a chef. I mean, anyone who cooks, anyone can really cook. It would be, for example, if you need to repair a corkscrew to open a bottle of wine. So then you can even have a ma'isa uman because there's no other way to open the bottle of wine with a cork. It's an example. So we are more makel when it comes to actual oichal nefesh. This also includes anything you need for refuah. Refuah is considered a tzairich of the nefesh, so medical needs are permitted on chalabar. This, though, has also a restriction, which is if there's something that you say, I have time to do it on yontif, chalamayin, I'm off from work. I don't have my normal schedule. Why don't I schedule my dentist appointment for chalamayin? You know, I need a 6-month dental checkup, do a cleaning, maybe x-rays, let me go chalamayin. That's awesome. Why? It's not a tzar chalamayin. If someone has chalila toothache, let's go to the dentist, for statement. If, however, it's just a normal visit, which involves a malacha, it's going to teeth bleed, and all kinds of malachas involved. That you can't do, even though it's a tzarech haguf. Why? Because it's called kivein malachdoi b'mayit. When you're mechavim malachdoi b'mayit, you say, I have time, then I specifically am going to do it, that's awesome. This is true even if it's a tzarech hamayit. If I'm mechavim malachdoi b'mayit, then I can.
Even
malach is being done to you. Because, yeah, that's correct. You mean, let's say it's a non-Jewish dentist. Well, if it's a yid, then it's a theater. And as we'll see later on, it's one of the sections we're going to talk about. Any malacha that a yid cannot do on chalamayin is not supposed to tell to an ein yehudi either. So you can't have someone do for you what you could not do as kivin malacha the mayit. Okay, if it's actual food items, then. Like preparing a roast. I mean, you can do it before yontif too and freeze it, but we're not mechayev you. We say you're allowed to do all oichal nefesh on yontif. But something like going to the dentist, one step removed, that would be considered kivin malachta. Two special situations, and then we're going to get into the core of what we really got to speak about tonight, which is davar vavet. The two of them are called hayel she'ein lo mayoichal. You might think it's not prevalent, but perhaps it's more than we think. There are people who pasha don't have food for yontif, and if they're off one day, they can't bring home food that night. So a yid like that, you're allowed to employ even a ma'isa uman. Let's say he's a carpenter. He's a you have a floor that you wanted to put in one of your rooms, and there's a fellow that's a carpenter and he has nothing to eat. So you're allowed to have him put in a floor. It's not a tzarich yontif. It's a ma'isa uman. It's kivin malachdoi. But the reason why you're giving it to him is to give him parnas. You could give him money too for the stock. He's not going to be mekabel. So him, you're allowed to employ. Depends, obviously, on the situation. If you have such a thing, then you're allowed to. The other special heter is tzarchei rabin. The Yushalmi says very interesting lashon. It's based on an economic principle. Which is, when is labor most cheap? When who do you hire for the least amount of money? When there's an oversupply. Okay? When there's more laborers than, or more workers, then we're just straight answers with capitalism. The more workers there are, the lower the wages. What week of the year do you have the most Leidic dimension, the most people that are off from work? Chol Moed. So the rabbin, what we try to do is to hire people, the dafka, chalamayid, in order that should cost the tzibur less money. What is this? It could be a public work, like repairing the roads, Yerushalmi says. Repair the roads. Remember, this Mount of Talmud, it was all Yiddish Gelt. I mean, they had autonomy, they had their own budget for the maintenance of the city. So any public works was done specifically chalamayid, because people were not working otherwise, and they would hire themselves out for much less than normally. So it was a saving. A shul is allowed to install plumbing, air conditioning, whatever it needs to do on Chol HaMoed. Even Shlomo Tzarech HaYantav. It's Tzarech HaRabim, we are matir, Shiloh, whether even a Maisa Uman or a Maisa Hedyot, there are particulars. But be aware that there are two other hater. Now we come to the main topic that's going to concern us in the commercial arena, which is Melecha's Dover Ha'avid. Dover Ha'avid is when you will most likely, right, not 100%, most likely incur a loss, or more than likely incur a loss if you would not do something. Gemara gives a number of examples. Gemara might call it. Someone had dates, a whole shipment of dates to sell. Now, it came Chol HaMoed, he hadn't sold them yet. And if you're going to wait a week, what happens to them? They start getting infested with worms. So, he was allowed, Ravina said, you're allowed to sell them now, it's a Dover Ha'avid. The very fact that you'll wait for a week will ruin these dates. So we learn from here that it has to be something within the Karen itself. Let's say he told Ravina, this week I can get $6 a pound. Next week, $8 a pound. That wouldn't be a hetter. Because fluctuations in price is not called a Dover Ha'avid. The fact that now, at this point in the market, it's a little bit lower. Next time, it'll be a little bit higher. So, speculation, we may call it, no one knows the future, it could go down too, is not a Dover Ha'avid. Dover Ha'avid is when there is an actual loss to the principal. An example of this would be, a very common example, when you have a building permit let's say you have a C-class violation. Okay, it shouldn't happen to anyone. So a building has to, how many days do they have to cure it? 7 days? 14 days? Okay? A building has a C-level violation, it's an immediately hazardous one. If the guy's going to say, well, I'm going to wait till after Chol HaMoed, what's going to happen? You get a huge fine. That's a Dover Ha'avid, minei ubei. If it's an A-level violation, painting and plastering is a hole here, is a this, which he gets 90 days to cure, 90 days, he can easily wait till after Chol HaMoed. If he didn't do it until now, and now the time is expiring, that's his problem. That's called Aynas V'Yamachrim. That's not an excuse. That might be Kivim Malachta V'Moed if he waited. But if it's a low-level violation, and he's able to cure it after Yontif, then it's no longer in the category of Dover Ha'avid. It has to be an immediate loss that will occur to the principal of what he has if he doesn't act now. Yeah. Now, let's talk for a moment. Let's talk for a moment about some reasons why there's Isser Malacha. The Rambam says in general, now again, if it's Daraisa, we don't give a Tam Lekra. But very often there are reasons that are secondary to the Maisa HaMitzvah. So the Rambam says in general, since Chol HaMoed is referred to as Mikra Kodesh, there is a level of Kedusha that imbues the Chol HaMoed. If we were to do Malacha, that would detract from the sense of Kedusha. Kedusha we have, a sanctity means that you're in a different level, you're in a different kind of existence. You think about Yom Kippur, you're wearing different clothing, you have a kittel, it's a different avir, the chlal. Imagine somebody would come from work in his work clothes and with a cell phone and everything and so on. It would destroy the avir HaKadusha. Chol HaMoed, says the Rambam, needs Isurei Malacha to convey a sense of Kadusha. That's at its most fundamental. We also have the 8 days of Sukkot, we have a mitzvah of Samachta b'chakecha, a mitzvah haseh, which all Rishonim say, it's not just on Yontif, it's a Chol HaMoed as well. As a matter of fact, many of the Paiskim say it's a mitzvah to drink a revius of wine every day of Chol Moed, kazayas of meat, and simchal of the basar, the yayin, fikaycha, and the falafel, grape juice, wine. But there's a mitzvah simcha. In order, Zakhtar Ritva, to enhance the feeling of simcha, we have less malacha. We don't do no malacha, like Yantif, Shabbos, we do a minimal amount, certain set of malacha, Darvavid, and so on, Tzarech HaMayid. Why? Tzarech HaMayid enhances the simcha. If I'm able to buy what I need for Yantif, and I'm able to pick apples off the tree and eat them, you know, make them to applesauce on Pesach, b'chulu, so then, or Yasukah, depending on when they grow, that increases simcha's Yantif. So the oifin of the heter malacha is built around simcha's Yantif. What about a davar avid? Davar avid is similar, says Ritva. Why? Imagine you have this shipment of, like in the Gemaisim Gemara, this fruit sitting in the warehouse, and you have a customer, but you can't make delivery and can't make a deal because Chol Moed. Okay? All Yantif, what are you worried about? They're going to get full of worms, I won't get my price, and I won't be able to sell, I'll take a loss. What kind of Simchas Yantif is that? So the Daiga of a Davar avid will be a share, it'll contradict your Simchas Yantif. Okay? Now, we are not going to apply it in specific cases to say, oh, this I'm anxious about. You know, I'm terribly anxious, but I can't do this or that. True. That may be true for you. But it's Chazal who took that anxiety and put it into halacha that said, a gadar of it, according to the gadarim that we will define, is permitted because otherwise it's going to shter your simchas yantif. And finally, the Rush, there's an inyan you find also about minimizing tircha. Many of the things that we allow or disallow, the criteria here, how much work is it? For example, a simple thing like moving from one apartment to another, that's prohibited under most circumstances. Unless, for example, the apartment got flooded or you've been evicted, whatever. But normally, the run-of-the-mill case where one person moves from one house to another, you're not allowed to do a Chol Moed. Why? There's not that much malach involved. There's no Yisro Haitzah on Chol Moed. You're allowed to carry through the streets, or even from the same building where you're not carrying outside. But it's tircha. Carrying and schlepping and lifting up all those heavy, the furniture and all the rest, just on a normal day it's tircha. Kal v'chomer on a day when we're supposed to have Simchas Yantif, so therefore it's awesome. These are some of the reasons that are given the Paiskim for the Isur. Number five, buying and selling. There is a general prohibition to do metach u'menkar, buy and sell. And the Rush gives the reason, mishum tircha. There is a tircha. Now tircha doesn't only mean backbreaking labor, to pick up a 50-pound sack of potatoes and carried across the room. Tircha can be of the mental exertion as well. When you're involved in a negotiation, think back to the last one you had, maybe today, maybe, I don't know, maybe some time back, a big negotiation you had, and at the end of the day, how do you feel? You feel wrung out, you feel like you need a vacation, you feel tense. Why? Because that's part of the human condition. When we have to be, you know, concentrated on our buying and selling and working out the details and so on. Zakhtar Rosh, Vol Rosh and Rosh. He says when a person has to think through all of these things, that is a great tircha. I wrote the Lashon over here. When a person has to put his mental exertion into working out the details of the deal, that's tircha, just like schlepping heavy packages. So, mechach u'menkar is awesome. Okay. Now, it is given the same conditions as all the other malachas we've spoken about. So, tzarech hamayit, let's say I need to buy food tree on the line. Mechach u'menkar, I can't buy now. Tzarech hamayit is mutter. Or a davar havit. What would be an example of a davar havit? Well, let's say you have, let's say you have an option that's expiring at the end of the week. End of the week is Yontif. Now it's Chol Moed. If I don't sell it, it's going to be worthless. So it means it's a Dover Hobbit. Very good example today of a Dover Hobbit. We don't have things get wormy today. We're not handling you and I in dates and fruits, okay, in a hot climate, but we do handle in securities. So if someone has a security that's going to expire, that's a classic case of Dover Hobbit. So therefore, he can be Isaac and Mecca for Memkar, just like he can do Malacha, let's start with Dover Hobbit, fixing something and so on. He can also buy or sell. This would be one example. Yeah. Another example of buying and selling. What about properties? Okay, so property, you're not allowed to buy or sell on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed. Why is that? Because buying and selling. You mean when the kinyan is made?
You talk about like a binder. I mean, what is the term of buying? Or how does that
mean?
Let's say a
binder. They'll tell us is not worth the paper it's written on, right? So. Is it binding? I don't think a binder is binding.
How about contract?
Legally. A contract is the intention to buy or sell, and you're becoming an arev. You know, usually a contract involves arvus, accepting responsibility for a loan is a big machlokes ha-poskim, whether that's permitted. In the Tanna's matir, most of the other poskim don't allow it on Chol HaMoed. Okay? So unless it's a straight cash deal and you made a contract, which is unusual, so lechayer contracting would also be also called that.
Also,
there's a lot of writing, which we're going to get into in a moment. Okay, what about leasing property? Okay, let's take a case of residential building. Let's take one in the Bronx, where there aren't too many Jewish tenants. Okay, so you own a building in the Bronx, and you have a vacancy. What's the vacancy rate there now, give or take? Anyone have a percentage? What's that?
5%.
5%. Okay, let's use that as a working number. So it's a 95% occupancy, 5% vacant. Okay. So you want to rent out an apartment, and that's schirus. The Gemara says in Bamitzi is memkar liyoyma, is a sale for the day. The concept of renting is I'm really buying it, but I'm buying it short term, and you give it back. So it's a kind of mekhle member. Is that permitted? So I'm allowed to rent for a number of reasons. Is Litzar HaMoed? Well, it's a non-Jew. It's nothing to do with Yontif here. Is it a Dover HaAvid? That's really the crux of the shadow. Is it a Dover HaAvid? What is the loss?
You rent. A few days of rent.
A few days of rent. On the other hand, okay.
The loss of a few days of rent is the HaAvid. The opportunity is not to get the
Yontif
to rent.
Okay, maybe I won't be able to rent it out at all. Which is why I preface this by asking, what's the vacancy rate? The vacancy rate is 10, 20%. You're right. That means you're in a difficult market. If it's 5%, it really means that the moment it's up for a rent, people come by, right? You have a constant flow of applicants. Except 5% means this one just moved out, this one's being painted, renovated, this one's in court, whatever.
But why doesn't that day? Why isn't that sufficient? Just one day?
So what about the opportunity cost? So this is known.
Not the opportunity cost. No? The fact that the dates are getting shorter. And that means that's the value that you have.
So the question is really, what is value in renting real estate? What constitutes rent? Is it the bricks, you know, the building, the substance you can put your hands on? Or is it the time value of the use?
The shamshas,
right? Not a simple question, not just philosophical, existential question, halakha question. What exactly is this? Now, you have this in Chayshu Mishpat, in Hilchos Mazik. If you lock somebody out of their house, what are you liable for? So, we are not mechayev you for the use of the house, because that's only a grama. You haven't taken away something substantive. If you lock them out and the something overflowed, well, that you did, okay? That's like you did it with your dime. But the fact that he couldn't live there for a day or a week, that's called a grama. That is to say that you were not a mazik on the substance of the house, but on his use. According to this, use of the house would not really be the. It would be Rebach. It wouldn't be. That's somebody today I was going to speak to.
That's
a Zeke. It may not be a gay over here. Anyway, this Shaila I want you to know was concerning me today. I called three Rabban and I asked their Chavzda. So my father, Shlita, is retired dying, and he says that since, according to many parties, the Lachas Chalmoyes Rabbanan, and Nekachamemkar itself certainly is not one of the Surim Daraisa. Even on Yom Kippur, it's only Yosim Rabbanan, Zer Shabbi Yichtev. So Mikamekelzan, he was Naitalahar. Spoke to my father-in-law, who was a retired Rav, and his Svara was that the loss of rent is closer to Karen, the loss of the object itself, than to than simply avoiding the loss of Rebach. Okay? And then I called up a former counselor of mine, his name is Rav Moshe Francis, he's a Rosh Kol in Chicago. He wrote the Sefer Cholmoyed in English. You've seen it maybe? Okay, Hilchos Cholmoyed. Years ago in Kantar Vadas, he was my counselor. I said, Moshe, remember? Yeah. Anyway, so what do you hold? He was also nice to the Hakel. He felt, well, his dimion was there's a tshuva or a Moshe about a factory. Now, a factory owned by Yid that has employees whose union contract calls for them to be paid even if the factory closes down on certain days, unless those days are by contract. So, legal holidays, they close, and they close for maintenance 1 week in July. All right, that they don't get paid. But if you decide to close arbitrarily and say you're not getting paid, they get paid anyway. So, that, he said, is a davar ha'avad. Close chalmoid, you won't get any output, but you have to pay the employees. That's a davar ha'avad. It's not minyas harevach, because you have fixed costs of labor. Similarly, he says, by building, you have the super, he's there anyway, regardless of whether this apartment is vacant or if it's tenanted. You have other personnel, you have insurance costs. So far, on this itself, I want you to know, this far Rav Moshe held, that's what we hold here in New York, in Eretz Yisrael, they held, Rav Shlomo Zalman held, that that's a cost of doing business as a frum yid. You wouldn't say that closing Shabbos is a davar ha'avad. Closing Yantav. You know, when you open the factory, you cheshmed in, I don't have any output, Shabbos, Yantav, and so on. So Cholmoyed is a chelik, and you want to do business from Yid, you're going to close Cholmoyed. That was his far. However, the Moshe was the Meir HaRav here in New York, we all like him, and Ingola Kula. So it's three Rabbonim. Fine, I'm giving you as an example, Yantav. Yantav comes in the Nittenvah. So three Rabbonim I spoke to today, all with Naitala Hakul, that you can rent on Cholmoyed, you can sign a lease, because we do consider that closer to loss, to davar ha'avad, rather than simply the opportunity cost, which is minyas
ha'revach. So getting rental contract, deal, to tell us that Lovis finds where it gets the house. But the contract is not before you, the contract is directly before you.
Right.
Now somewhere says, you don't sign it today, you send it to somebody else. And every contract is separate.
So it's a davar ha'avad for the buyer. For the buyer.
Just trying to get a giving a down payment.
You're talking about from the point of view of the purchaser. So he, in other words, will not be able to get this house or this kind of deal later. Okay. Now the Rishonim do speak about where you will not be able to buy that item after Yontif. So it is a Dover Hamatsui. This is a case in Yerushalmi. Let me just give you the case. Yerushalmi says, a Shayara comes to town. Remember those years, you didn't have a Walmart and everything available all the time. You had traveling caravans that had goods. If you caught them, you were able to buy. And they had good prices. It's like you ever see the Snap-on Tools truck? Anybody here into hand it around? Snap-on Tools you can't buy in a hardware store. If you catch them on the road and they stop, you can buy from them. Okay, it's a Shayara. Today it's a modern-day Shayara. So says Yerushalmi, we hold like that if it comes to town, you're allowed to buy, even if it's not a tzarech hamayit. Why? It's a dar she'ena matsui. So it's a dar ha'avad. I'll never be able to get these tools again, this value and this quality at this price, unless they buy now. They're not going to come around again for who knows how long. If it's a flea market every week, No, you don't get it this week, you get it next week. It's, you know, going out of business, but they do it every week. The case, the Maril says a case, Chalmai Pesach, there was a Yid who used to make hats. Let's go back to the Middle Ages. The point it was Lahavdol Be'er Chaga, Easter, came out of Chalmai. Everybody wanted to buy Easter hats. And of course, who makes them? The Yidl. Okay? So he was Matir. Why? Because it's a Davish Ein HaMatzur. A week later, they don't need these things. Okay? They don't wear them all the time. They just wear them on that Chaga. So something that you have only today is the opportunity. Question is there a comparable house that's going to be available within a comparable price range? It may turn on that. If it's what we call a metzia, one of a kind, or he needs it specifically, a two-family house for him and his parents on a corner, first floor, right? Maybe that qualifies as a davar shein hamatzah in economic. If it's a standard run-of-the-mill house and he's buying it for schayer and not for living, then probably not. I think, and then there may be gradations in between. Okay. So this is buying and selling. Yeah. One of the things really more to get to the retail segment than to the real estate is opening a store. Okay. You sell clothing. Okay. You sell men's suits, or you're allowed to open Chalmayit. Well, it's Merkach HaMerkach. Merkach HaMerkach. So there are two kulos, which the Veld uses. First of all, Menias HaRevach, again, it is an opportunity loss. Maybe it's not a loss of the Karen, but on the other hand, if you have regular customers who will not come to you on Chol HaMoed, but may go to some other store, that's called Dover Havet. A guy that, you know, every year he buys a suit by you before Yontif, and he wasn't there and he wants to come to Chol HaMoed, if you're going to lose him to another store, that's called, maybe not Yidden, could even be going Lahavdol. This svar is, I saw one of the Taiskim says Legavi a shul, okay? A shul that wanted to renovate during Chol HaMoed, there's no place else to daven. So they said, so we have an answer, we go daven in another shul. But the Rav was worried, if they go to the other shul, what's going to happen? They're going to like that place, they're going to become chassidim by the other shul. So he's going to lose his customers. This is in the model of shul where it's a private enterprise. It has two models. It's a communal shul. You know, Beis Knesset is also a shtibel, which is a private enterprise, entrepreneurial model. So there, it's a davar havid. On a communal shul, we wouldn't. But a communal shul is tzarchei tzibur. It's not just one person. Anyway, just giving you a... So when it comes to buying and selling in stores, if everyone else is open, and he's the only yid that's going to close, it's very hard to tell him don't. For him, it's a bona fide davar havid. If everyone is closed, like in Yerushalayim, no one opens a store there, at least in the Shum Shunas, then it would be a heter. The second heter is, and this one is Rishonim, actually it's based on Rishonim. Rishonim says Rabbi Yossi Bar Bun told Rav Mono Dachsa, who had asked him, he says, can I sell this on Yontif? He says, if you're going to sell what you want to sell, Chol HaMoed, and then with the extra money that you have now in your pocket, you'll buy wine, and you'll have more wine with Tzarat Yontif, you're allowed to. So say the Paiskin, you can be Isaac and Masu Matan if it will put money in your hands that you will then spend on Simchas Yontif. So, who are we talking about? If it's a middle class, or even a moderately established person, you know, the truth is, you make a deal, you have some money, you will feel a little bit better about buying some wine. Maybe not only wine, maybe you'll decide to be Yitzhak the Mitzvah's Esav, Samachta B'chagiach, and buy your wife some jewelry, right? A husband. Kind of Mitzvah's Asay. The Gemara says, B'bavel the Big Day Tzavainim, you buy colored clothing to your wife, Mekayim Mitzvah, Samachta Simchas Yontif. I've tried buying clothing, it doesn't work. Jewelry, it never fails. Okay? Can't go wrong. Mitzvah's Asay. Okay, wonderful. If I have more money in my pocket, terrific, I'll stop by the jewelry store on the way home and get some jewelry. So that is a heter as well. Dachronim, not too happy. So everyone, as you're allowed to sell a whole yontif, a whole chalmai, so I'm going to spend some more. Zokta Taz, another big kula. Unless you were gevir, as defined by the Veld, an osher, awesome, The way it is today, every yid is on the margins, what he says. We are all at a certain level of subsistence, and therefore this heter applies universally. This is what it does. Mishabur is makel, we're makel, a maisa. Okay. What it tells you is that stores, about it's much better to keep them closed, but there are two coolest that the Velt is on. Some of the Paiskin are happier, some are not as happy about the coolest.
And yes. The dates, well, who are we speaking about? A fellow who was, must have been a Greer.
Well, who did, who did,
how did it? And then he would end up using the money which he was going to get, in order to buy some example.
Perhaps. Okay. Maybe there was a Greer. Or you can say, not like the Taz, it's just a regular person. The only had was a Dover Hobbit.
The Taz, right. The Taz himself would only be.
Would say that, yeah, yeah.
That's right.
That's a very more
of commerce has changed in such a way that everything is going online, eBay, Amazon.
Yes.
So those eBay stores are 24/7. In terms of the Dover Hobbit, it's a gift.
A Dover Hobbit they want.
If you don't call it on your service.
Ah, uh-huh. That's another shayla b'chlal, if you're not really running it, no? I mean, you set it up and it runs by itself, in a sense. You're talking about the person who runs that website?
Yeah, 80% of comments are going, is online already. Even the last week, so the Walmart, Target.
Yeah, that's true.
Just
yeah.
On the internet comments. Uh-huh. Conventional comments out the window.
Well, the purchaser, let's say you're sitting in your terminal Talmud and you want to buy something, so then all of these gedarim will apply. Do I need a tzarach yontif? You're also bringing up another shayla. Using a computer, is that a maisa woman or a maisa hedyot? Right on Paiskim Hall, it's a maisa hedyot, this man who doesn't have a computer. So, a maisa hedyot, a tzarach yontif, you're allowed to. If, though, you see something you want to buy for after yontif, that you can't. Because that's mekach memka. You cannot.
So can keep your server on.
If you're the seller, can you do that? I think they're matir if you're not doing any action. You're not doing a maisa. There's other problems, though, as far as processing Shabbos and Yontif. No? I mean, there's another issue there. Yeah. So we're going to leave that sort of to the side. But the point of view of purchasing, even for your business, I mean, if you're in the office, call Moyes, for whatever reason. Because we're going to see in a moment, building maintenance is a lot of Dover Hobbit, obviously, so you have to be there. And you figure, let me pick up some condensers or whatever I need for the running of the building properly. Unless you imminently need it now, today, for to repair something to Dover Hobbit, you can't do that whole night. Mechamenka, buying and selling, you can't do unless it's these two hater. Tzarech and Mayid or Dover Hobbit. Let's talk about construction and contractors. Okay, the Gemara says that construction on Chol HaMoed, to build a house, is more chomer than Shabbos. So it's prohibited. Why? Because it's Amshamilsa. Amshamilsa means it's publicly noticeable. Everyone can see. You have construction site, you have earth moving, you have all kinds of things. People come and going. And if it's Shabbat, of course you're not allowed to build or even have Goyim building for you Shabbos in Yontif. However, if it's Chutz Tchum, there's no Yid that lives within Tchum Shabbos, you're allowed to have it going on there. If you own property out in the woods somewhere and someone is constructing, that's permitted Shabbos in Yontif.
Kablonis,
yes, because it's not your shaliach. It's not like a day laborer. You go down to one of these places, you pick up all the Mexicans, you drive off to the construction site. We're not talking about that's a shiryon. That's your direct shaliach. A kablon, a contractor, you make out a job. He's doing it on his own time. He could do it Sunday for all you care. He could do it Monday, Tuesday. The fact that it does a Shabbos, that's his own decision. You're not telling him when to work. So that's permitted at Chutz HaTchum. Chol HaMoed, though, it's us or even Chutz HaTchum. Why is that? Why is Chol HaMoed us or Chutz HaTchum? Because on Shabbos, a Yid can't get there. You can take a trip. You can get into the car and drive there. Say, oh, look at this, you know, Levine and then Cohen, you know, building stuff. Okay, so that'll be a Chilul and a Zilzul Chol HaMoed. So you're not allowed to do construction. Okay. Rabbeinu Tam holds, Das is not Muslim in Paisim, Rabbeinu Tam holds that a contractor is permitted. Only a payel, again, a day laborer, per diem worker that you hire for the day, that is a shaliach of yourself. A contractor who does the job, whether the general, the sub, whatever he is, he's allowed to. I say Alter Ben Tam. We don't hold like this lahalach. However, there are possibly some kulas if there is also a davar ha'avid penalty clause is involved. This is something that can be covered all at once. This is something you should discuss with your rav. If you're in the middle of a construction project and Chol Moed comes and the contractor has certain requirements or legal requirements that will cause a penalty, then it could be a discussion. Building maintenance, what you need to prevent a loss is permitted, or where it's a safety issue. The Gemara, many of these things we learn from the Yerushalmi. Hayukaisla goyhalipal. Things in the Bavli too, in the second paragraph. If the wall between you and your neighbor was about to fall over, and a falling wall obviously is a danger. Bashasa falls afterwards, kids go there and they can fall on the stones. So anything that has a safety component, you're allowed to fix. But there are human, even, you can call in a contractor, a specialist, the tools. Or if it's going to cause a loss, like a plumbing leak, you can't allow a plumbing leak to run for the whole Chol Moed and the whole Yontif. Obviously, you have to fix it. You can't fix it in a way that's a Maisa Hedyot. Okay, the way some of us like to try. It's not going to work. It's going to break open again. So there, you can do Maisa Uman, and it's always best to do it Al Yidei Nachri. Try to hire non-Jewish contractors, even if your regular contractor is a Yid, but Chol Moed. Best Hideyakim. And a Yid, incidentally, if he's doing a job on Chol Moed, he's not supposed to take pay, and that is, says the Rosh, because it's Uvda the Choyl. Very, very interesting. Even when a Yid is allowed to do Malach on behalf of another Yid, shouldn't get paid for it, because then you're changing into a weekday. It's a commercial day. He went to work, I paid him, and it looks like any other day of the week. So it's all, unless he refuses without pay, then you're allowed to. L'chatchila, he should not be taking pay.
Can he have a bitl zman?
Bitl zman is a type of pay. Right? I mean, not like $125 an hour for a master mechanic or a master plumber. Says chinam, that's a lashon. Chinam ein kesef, you know. If he agrees, if it's a firm guy who knows the halach, he'll agree. It's most often best to get a non-Jewish firm. To on Chol Moed, to have them on call. Employees, anything that you're not allowed to do yourself on Chol Moed, you can't tell a non-Jew. So a non-Jewish super cannot do malachas that you couldn't do yourself. So non-emergency maintenance can't be done. What would be of a non-emergency nature in a building? Some
Painting
you can't do. It's not an emergency. Even if it's a violation, they give you 90 days. Okay? Painting would certainly not be permitted. Things of that nature, you can't have the guy, even if he's doing it on his own time, because that is a zilzol and yantiv, and the chachamim asr the akum, just like yourself.
You have to stop the guy if he does it on his own?
What's that?
You have to stop the guy if he paints.
Yes, you have to tell him not to. Yeah, that's our policy, we're not going to paint, yeah. Yeah, it won't be the greatest tenant relations, but if you know that what the schedule is, you can double up the week before and tell them I did it a week earlier for you. Okay. Things like elevator repairs that you have to do, first of all, by code and legally, you're responsible for that. And second of all, you can't run a building without an elevator. It's also a fire violation, a safety, and all the rest of that. So that's an emergency repair. That wouldn't constitute a regular maintenance. So that's an employee. A Yiddish employee, if he is going to work for you in a way that's not a davar ha'avid, a tzarach mayid, you'll be arguing lifnei ivir. So although he may not be shomer tarei mitzvos, you may have a Russian superintendent in the building or whatever. I don't have to stereotype. It could be anyone. A Yid that's not necessarily shomer Shabbos, but on the other hand, it's lifnei ivir if you're causing him to work on Chol Moed Shlo Tzarech. And finally, I just want to mention the writing and record keeping. Everything today requires records. It's mataiv if you're able to do it electronically. There are many ways to enter data now with barcodes, with various codes, with smartphones and so on, different apps for running different parts of the business, because most of the Rabbanim today hold that's not halachic ksiva. Ksiva, though, is only mutter for the various categories that were enumerated, which is Dabar Avad, Tzarif Yontif, and so on. Now, there are two kinds of fonts, we would call them today. One is called Ksav Ashuri, the Sefer Torah script. That's Aser. That we don't do anyway. We're not Sefer. Comes a Shiloh being Magia Sefer Torah, that's a separate thing. But you and I write in a Ksav called Ksav Mashita, that's the Lashon of the Rishonim, which is everyday handwriting. Okay, we're not calligraphers, we write. That is permitted, according to some Paiskim, it's not Ksav at all. However, we'd hold it is Ksav. If, though, now that, where does it come up? Let's say signing a check, right? You want to sign a payroll check, or anything, or a purchase check. Where you're allowed to do it, it's a Dabar Avad. So, what you could do, theoretically, is break each letter. So, if your name is Moshe, and you sign it, normally, Moshe, on Chol Hamoed, I would write a broken letter. That's what Paiskim say? That's not, that doesn't have a halachic ksav, because each letter is broken. They'll accept it on, you can script, you know, when you sign a check, you do this bank location anyway, don't have to worry about it.
This is only a Dabar Avad, and only a Tzarif Yontif?
This would be, yeah. Okay. This is not ksiva. Yeah, this is not ksiva. To write at an angle, there's a meaning when you write a letter on Yontif, you write an angle, that's still ksiva. This is not ksiva. The way I wrote this, that does not have a lock of ksav, because each letter is broken on. Every single letter. Every ois. So you never elevated it to the level of ksiva. That is a preferred way. So electronically is preferred, which many things lend themselves at today, entering directly into electronics. Writing in a broken, and if for some reason the lawyer doesn't like you for whatever, you know. So then, if you scribble it, that's probably good as well. Or b'dievet, you can write it normally, if it's a Dabar Avad. What would be a Dabar Avad, for example? Writing a check to pay something that's due now, or else there'll be a penalty. Or let's say there was an emergency repair, you have to pay the repairman, the chulu, the elevator guy. So that type of ksiva. Record keeping, where it's permitted to write, you're allowed to keep records. So when you write the check, you're allowed to write in the register, you know, $1,000 to the Otis elevator, because if you're not going to write it, it's going to be double, you'll never remember, and then your bank statement is going to be out of whack. So in a Tzarif Yontif, where I wrote down a list of what I need to buy for home, let's say, shopping list. I know myself, my wife gives me a list, I can't remember it. Okay, so that would be a Tzarif Yontif, I shouldn't get into an argument, I forgot to buy the milk. Yeah? So you're allowed to write it down, and then you can write the record of the check, because otherwise it'll later on cause a hezek. Same is true in medical establishments. Hospitals, all the rest of that, must have record keeping, otherwise it would be a Dabar Avad.
There's not electronically,
so
typing electronically is considered
ksiva. Excuse me?
Typing electronically is considered
ksiva. No, it is not considered ksiva. According to, yeah. Typing electronically is not
ksiva. Anyway,
so that's the best way to do it. Like I said, electronically, broken letters, and then video that you can sign. Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't spoken any of the shiur for Dabar Avad, even if it's a dollar.
What is the shiur? A significant amount. What is significant? It's obviously subjective to the time and place. For a rental, we said, you know, a Dabar Avad would be a rental. If it's the first day of Chol Hamoed and it's a week's rental, if it's $1,000 apartment, a week is $250. That's substantial. If it's one day, probably not. You know.
But the metric is not called if you have a value to the person who.
It would be relevant to the person. Yeah, relevant the Dabar Avad to that situation. Yeah, I can't give a number on it. Is it $100? Is it $50?
That situation means as a percentage of, or.
What to say? I have not found a specific. What's substantial? Substantial.
Going back to writing on a computer.
Yes.
Could you print that out and give it to somebody?
Printing, yes. What I do is when I hit the print button, I do with a shinui. It's not necessary, but yeah, printing is not considered ksiva as well. Yeah. Okay. Final? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.